Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Hallelujah. On a tremendous Thursday.
That's it.
We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday on seven things to get you into trouble. Actually, we ought to call it seven ways to stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
That would be a more positive thing, I think.
If you, do these things.
Yeah.
Instead of not if you do these things.
That's right.
However.
Well, it'll get you into trouble, number one, if you don't tithe. We're going to do a brief review. If you're sitting in the pew Sunday after Sunday without tithing, then you're headed for trouble or you're already there. No excuses, no alibis. If we aren't tithing and giving offerings, we're robbing God. Period. Paragraph. Make sure you read Malachi 3, 8 through 11. Malachi 3, 8 through 11.
Number two, talking down leadership or those in authority. People don't realize how much trouble you can get in doing that. If you don't know how to live under authority, you're never going to be given any authority. And one more thing about authority, it's easier to be under authority when everything's going great, everything's going well. But your real measure of obedience is the fact of when you submit to authority, when you don't agree with those over you. We cannot account for what anybody else does in our lives. We have a lot of stuff going on, but we will give account for how we think and what we say and what we do. So understand this anyway, that authority is very important to God.
Number three, not believing God will do what he says he will do. Numbers 23:19, Classic Amplified. God is not a man that he should tell or act a lie, neither the Son of Man that he should feel repentance or compunction for what he has promised. Has said what he has promised. Has he said and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken and shall he not make it good?
I love that.
And part of it is there's, when you take that scripture, there's about four key points we want to talk with you about, or three of them maybe. Fact number one, God can't lie.
Wow.
Cannot lie. Check Jeremiah 1:11.
Number two, fact number two, every word, every promise he's ever given to us will come true. You can read Genesis 28:13 in the message, but there's so many more scriptures.
Yes.
But Genesis 28:13 is what we quoted yesterday.
Fact number three, God will stick with you through thick and thin till his promises come in.
Hallelujah.
That rhymes.
That needs to go on your little Facebook thing.
It does. See, we got to believe that God will do what he says he'll do regardless of our current circumstances or even what we perceive those circumstances or the consequences of those to be. Number four.
Being a stealth sinner. Excuse me. If you've ever said to yourself, nobody's looking, nobody will ever know, my secret is safe with me. Without question, the person who says that is the biggest fool you know. In Mark 4:22, in the Living Bible Translation, this is what the Word of God says. For everything that is hidden will eventually be brought into the open, and every secret will be brought to light. Wow. So if you're visiting a website or you're doing some stuff that you know that you ought not to be doing, understand this, it won't stay secret for long.
Sure.
When we allow negative or sinful things to enter our thought process, and even an impression in our mental hard drive, like Hero likes to say, our own minds are making an impression. So if we're getting on websites on the computer, and they leave an impression too, but think of what's being left on your mental hard drive. You want to get rid of those in the name of Jesus. Not let that thing get a hold of you. The contemporary English version of Mark 4:22 says, there is nothing hidden that will not be made public. There is no secret that will not be well known. Wow.
Now let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call. Number five, putting down your spouse or anyone else for that matter. I'm just going to deal with people who put down their spouses in front of others or even behind their backs. When you get married, you become one flesh with your spouse and much more than sexual intimacy. If you chastise your mate, if you put them down, you're actually doing the same thing to yourself. Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Make no mistake about it. There are spiritual consequences when you embarrass your spouse, when you speak down to them or abuse them verbally. In fact, you are in fact doing harm to yourself. Ephesians 5:29-33. In the Message Bible, sums up the relationship between a husband and a wife. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are part of his body. And that's why a man leaves his father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is that the way Christ treats the church, well, this provides a good picture how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. Strong scripture.
Amen.
If you begin to treat your spouse the way Christ treats his bride, the church, well, you will witness the most amazing transformation ever. An extreme makeover from a heathen to a fruit-producing believer. Guess what? It starts with you.
Number six, taking the credit for what God has done for you. You know, the breath you just took was a gift from God. So if it weren't for God, you wouldn't be thinking, breathing, or even living. In John 10:10 in the New Living Translation, it says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. We have what we have because he's entrusted it to us. And in Romans 12:3, using the Message Bible, it says, I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me. And especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. So we need to remember always who gave us the opportunity to be successful. And in 2 Corinthians 2:12 in the New Living Translation, it says, when I came to the city of Troas to preach the good news of Christ, the Lord opened a door of opportunity for me. And he's been opening doors of opportunity for us.
Yes, he has.
Hallelujah. But we'll get into that later. And by the way, whether you've taken advantage of that opportunity or not is not totally the point. He gave you the opportunity. And what we do with the opportunities he gives to us is the gift we give back to him. So we want to make it good. And we want to remember why we are where we are and who gave us life eternal and abundant, along with a vision of our future. You know, who even introduced us or how Christ was able to touch our lives and make them whole when so many people turn him down. But if we'll continually remember and honor God for what he's done for us, then we'll always keep our success in a proper and a perspective scriptural perspective, I should say it that way, in a proper and scriptural perspective. In Psalm 35:28, Classic Amplified, has some good advice for us. And my tongue shall talk of your righteousness, rightness, and justice, and of my reasons for your praise all the day long. That's not just once at night or once in the morning. Let me also give you a word of caution about what happens when we fail to remember the one who brought us to the dance, like my husband likes to say. In Deuteronomy 24:47-48, this being in the Old Testament, oh, I'm reading it from the New Living Translation, but it can transfer as to, you know, our faith without works is dead. If you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm for the abundant benefits you have received, you will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. We open ourselves up is what happens. It says you will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking in everything. The Lord will put an iron yoke on your neck, oppressing you harshly until he has destroyed you. Praise opens the way to just so many things that what we want just by praising God. And it also exposes a heathen masquerading as a Christian.
It does.
Just praising God.
We talked more about that on yesterday's call. Number 7, being stuck in a comfort zone.
Mm.
Your comfort zone is an enemy of your future, a hindrance to your success, a stumbling block to your destiny. If you stay in your comfort zone, you will never leave nor surpass your current reality. One of the main reasons people, believers, get stuck in their comfort zone is fear. If we don't face our fears, they'll keep growing. If we don't face what we perceive to be our inadequacies, they'll be magnified. If you're wondering what people think of you, you need to be more concerned about what God thinks. But if you're wondering what people will think, if you fail in your new endeavor, you're worried about the wrong person. That's what I'm trying to say. We need to be more concerned about what God thinks than anybody else in our neighborhood. Mark 7:8-10 in the New International Version. Hallelujah. You got to love the word. You let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. There comes a point, a time, we have to realize that what we're doing is not working. We need to let it go, shake it up, change what we're doing, and do something else. We can tell you something that every heathen knows. If you know any, that is, if you know any heathens.
Everybody knows a few.
I know. You know, they'll try to keep you locked inside your comfort zone. But it's time, past time, for you to break free. Hallelujah. I want you to go to heraldherring.com. Click the button that says, well, before that, we sent out an email.
Mm-hmm. A door of opportunity is open to us.
That's exactly right, on Tuesday. Some people are just now seeing it. But it's about a door of opportunity that we've been given.
Mm-hmm.
A week ago today, we met with the president of a television station in Eastern North Carolina. And he offered to broadcast our program for free in prime time. We're kind of excited about that because this will give us an opportunity to take that program and syndicate it to some other stations.
Amen.
But in order to do that, we're going to need an upgrade in some equipment, a new set over our existing one, and to have our DVD, CD duplicator and label printer, a new one, because the one we got's rigor mortis is setting in.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Anyhow, be looking for the email. If you don't get it, send me one to Harold at heraldherring.com, and I'll send it to you. Until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.